Well, hello, everybody. Blessings and peace on you in the mighty name of King Jesus. Welcome, 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 guys, to this week's podcast. And you're really going to like this. I want to kind of premise this and tell you that one of the great privileges I have since the Lord's put me on TV and radio and since the church has blown up is I get to meet extraordinary people. And I love that. It's one of my most favorite things in the world. And one of the groups of people that I get to meet are people who have had next level encounters with King Jesus, some of them after they died. And today you're going to be hearing me do a really cool little interview with a young man, an 18-year-old young man and his mama Ginger, who, guys? He actually, just as recent as August the 2nd, died, was in a coma, and was on life support for 3 days. And when he woke up from out of his coma, he had an extraordinary story to tell. Now, these people were not very religious people. They were minimal believers. I think that they described themselves as that, that they were people, we believed in Jesus, but we didn't really do much with it. You know, we didn't live extraordinary Christian lifestyles. And then this happened. Jesus enters the room and he changes absolutely everything. Can you imagine being a parent sending your 18-year-old boy in to have his wisdom teeth removed and then actually finding out that it was something that was fatal to him? And then at the moment where you were ready to give up everything, the brother wakes up and says, "Hand me your phone," because he's totally tricked out. And he starts typing the word heaven. He starts typing the word God. He starts trying to tell them, I saw my grandmothers. I've been with Jesus for the past 3 days. Listen, guys, you're going to love this. This is Brother Austin Cole, and this is his mama Ginger, as we were together here in the studios here at Open Door Church. Let's go there now. And peace on you in the mighty name of King Jesus. Troy Brewer here coming at you strong from behind the scenes here at Open Door Church. Just got back from a powerful meeting in Ukraine, in Warsaw, Poland. I was in Amsterdam. I was in London. I was in all kinds of stuff. Came back to Texas late last night. Got up here today. My body has no idea what time it is, but it turns out that that's going to be one of the subjects of the things that we're talking about today, because we know that in heaven, that God is not subject to time. And once we get on the other side of redemption, once we're done with the purposes of redemption, there's no more purpose for time, because time was created for the purposes of redemption. And one of the things we're going to be talking about is that time is running out for us today. And I actually have an expert on this subject. I'm actually going to be interviewing today. Get ready for this, guys. Man, you guys are going to dig this. Get ready. There's a young man, an 18-year-old young man that is here today. And just a couple of months ago, we're talking about very, very recently, through a series of tragic events, he actually died, was carried away to heaven, actually spent time with King Jesus, got a clear directive of what he's supposed to tell everybody, and he's back here today to tell us about that. So listen, I encourage you guys to call people, tell people, dude, you got to hear this show. Pastor Troy's talking to some crazy guy who's gone into the presence of Jesus, and it's going to be awesome cool. Guys, I have two people here with me and in the studios here today. I have Brother Austin Cole. Austin, how are you doing, my friend?
All right. How about yourself?
I'm doing good, man. I'm a little bit ragged out, but I'm good. Right on. It's good to see you, man.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much for joining me here today. I cannot wait to talk about this, man. And then I also have your mama that's here with us, and Miss Ginger Wang. Is that correct? Did I say your last name right?
That's right.
Welcome, Ginger. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Blessing and peace on you. So I think it's the first time that I've actually been in a room with you guys where we actually talked. I've seen you on some videos. And I've heard your testimony, and I asked Brother Mason, the guy who does all my radio for me. I said, "Hey, man, can you get a hold of this guy and see if we can do a podcast?" I want to say thank you so much for joining us, man, and for coming in and for being a part of this. Right on.
Thank you.
You're so welcome, man. Well, I'm going to start with you, Miss Ginger. So, wow, as a mom, you have been through something this year, man.
Yes.
I mean, you've been through something, and once you go through something like this, you're never, ever, ever the same. You mm-hmm. never imagined that when you sent your son in mm-hmm. to have his wisdom teeth removed, that it would be a life or death situation, that it would be something like that.
Right.
So tell me a little bit about that, and tell me about the medical condition that actually led up to this event.
Okay, so it was a Friday morning. It was August 2nd, 2019. Austin had all four of his wisdom teeth removed just routinely. And so he gets home from the surgery that day. He's out of it from anesthesia. You know, that's to be expected.
Sure.
And then on Saturday, he appeared to be in mild pain, I would say. And he was just kind of out of it. But by Sunday morning, when he woke up, he was severely, and I mean severely swollen, on the right side of his face, jaw, and neck.
Oh, no.
So I tried to give him medications to control the symptoms, and he complained of a severe sore throat. And his condition obviously deteriorated throughout the night. And by Monday morning, I knew something was really wrong with Austin. Mm. And I tried to contact his surgeon's office and wasn't able to. So I contacted their other location, and I expressed my concerns of Austin's condition. And they reminded me he had four wisdom teeth removed, and okay. everything I was expressing was nothing but normal.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So all your bells and whistles and alarms are going off. As a mom, yep. you're like, man, this is not normal. You get a hold of them, and they're mm-hmm. like, yeah, no, you know, this is just kind of what happens. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't. It was more than that, wasn't it?
That's correct. And they offered us appointment. It was 3:45, 4 o'clock that day.
Wow.
So he's pretty much suffered all day Monday while we thought this was normal, the swelling, while we waited for that later appointment. So we get him to the appointment that day, and they immediately examined him and told us to get him to the emergency room.
Wow.
And on the way to the hospital, he says, Mom, I'm going to die. And that's when his airways began to close up. And so we get him to the hospital, and they did a wow. CT scan, and they told me he was in critical condition and had a fatal infection called a Ludwig angina, and that's caused from his wisdom teeth being removed, or complications from the wisdom teeth being removed.
So Austin, you actually told your mom on the way to the hospital, I think I'm going to die.
Yes, sir.
My goodness. Had you ever experienced anything like that before, to where you thought you were going to die before?
No, I just had already knew, like I had visioned it, like I had already knew what was going to happen.
And dude, you are so prophetic. You have such a huge prophetic gift on you, Austin. Mm-hmm. You really do, man. So you're like, okay, well, I think I'm going to die. So as scary as that is, I mean, were you panicking? Were you freaking out? Or were you just like, oh, I think I'm going to die? What did that feel like from your side of things?
I was going all over the place. After they had called my name back, I gave my phone, my wallet, my hat, my keys, everything to my mom.
Wow. Which is kind of your way of saying, yeah, I don't think I'm coming back.
Right.
No kidding. Wow. So Ginger, your mm-hmm. little boy gives you all this. Of course, he's a grown man now. I mean, you know, he's got a cool Scooby-Doo beard, man. Kind of looks like Shaggy right on, which is awesome. And you're like, okay. And they're like, this is happening. This mm-hmm. is... This is actually happening. We just went to just go get, you know, the little brother's teeth removed. Now we're in a life or death situation, and they told you a fatal. It's a this is mm-hmm. this thing kills people.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So then they wheeled him back. You see him wheel him back, right? They close the door behind him, and then you're left in the room.
His surgeon, not the one that removed his wisdom teeth, but the one that did his surgery in the hospital, he took me, and his name is Dr. Daniel Dugan. He took me to the side, and he pretty much prepared me that Austin's in critical condition and has a life-threatening infection, Ludwig angina, and that he needed to be intubated and placed on life support immediately and undergo surgery immediately. And that's
wow.
when I ran out the hospital doors, screaming and praying the best way that I knew how, pleading with God to not take him from me.
So up until this time, Ginger, your walk with God was real. You did know Jesus, but it had been pretty minimal compared to what it is now.
That's correct.
And so you were telling me that before. Well, I'm not just judging you. I'm just mm-hmm. And plus I just know how this kind of stuff changes people, man. Mm-hmm. But compared to how you're walking now and compared to what you was, it was pretty minimal. So you just go out there and you're just going to cry out to God. You don't know what else to do.
Right.
So while all that's going on, Austin, you're laying in a bed and everybody's trying to save your life, and then something happened. What happened?
I woke up in a vision. I had saw my mom crying, the medical team working on me. After that, I'm in a tunnel with an angel.
Wow.
Yes, sir. Going through the tunnel, I see the gates of heaven.
Okay, can I just stop you, man? So whenever you saw this angel, so what did this angel look like?
I mean, it was so beautiful. It had long, golden wings.
No kidding. It actually had wings. I love it.
Yes, sir.
I love it. So what did his hair look like? What kind of clothes was he wearing?
It was actually, I can't describe what the angel actually looked like in face.
Okay, that's all right. That's okay. Mm-hmm. I can completely understand that. So you're going through this tunnel, and mm-hmm. you're being taken through some place that you're describing as a tunnel.
Right.
And then you can actually see the gates of heaven.
Right.
What do the gates of heaven look like, Austin?
Tall. It's beautiful.
Come on. Run on. So what color were they?
Mines were golden. A lot of people say white, but mines were golden.
Awesome, man. No, that's okay. That's cool. You know, Jerusalem has tons and tons and tons of different gates. One of them is actually called the Golden Gate. That's the Eastern Gate. The gate that Jesus walks in and out of, that one's called the Golden Gate.
Gotcha.
I'm pretty sure that heaven has multiple gates. I mean, I know that in the book of Revelation, it specifically describes mm-hmm. 12 gates of the New Jerusalem. But I know that I know that gates represent praise. It represents entering in and out and all that kind of stuff. So it wouldn't surprise me if there's multiple gates to heaven. It wouldn't surprise mm-hmm. me that. But you knew that these were the gates of heaven as soon as you saw them.
I had already knew.
So, man, is it a tight deal, Austin, that whenever you see something, there's like information, you just know stuff about it?
Right.
Yeah, I love that. Okay. All right, so off you go, and you're headed towards the gates of heaven, and what happens?
Once they open.
Oh, I bet that was a big deal.
Right? There was loud, beautiful music coming from everywhere.
Come on, man.
On earth, I can only hear out of one ear, but while I was in heaven, I was deaf-free. Heard out of both my ears, heard the most beautiful sounds ever.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so now you're actually hearing in stereo.
Right.
It's probably for the first time. So you're deaf out of your left ear.
Right.
That's remarkable.
No sound at all.
So you're completely deaf out of the left side of your head, and here you are in heaven, and you're hearing.
I'm like, oh, my God, I just can't believe this.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. I bet that was so amazing.
It was
so incredible. And you're hearing music and you're hearing sounds. Was there any sense of where the music was coming from or how
that
works?
It was the angel singing.
Oh, my God.
Singing, welcome home, welcome home.
Stupid cool, man.
Right.
Singing welcome home. You actually understood the song they were singing, and it was a welcome home song?
It was a welcome home calling.
Oh, my God. I just want to start bawling right now. I love that. That means so much to me, man. So you go through the gate, and what happens when you get through the gate?
I see my two grandmothers, which I had conversations with. And after that,
Stop. I'm sorry. So you actually see your two grandmothers.
Yes, sir.
So you see, I guess this is your dad's mom and your mom's mom? Is that who it was, or who was this?
My great-grandma and my grandma.
Got you, man. I got you. And you actually had a conversation with them.
Yes, sir.
So they were there standing at the gates waiting on you, or just as soon as you went through heaven, you saw them, something like that?
As soon as I was going through, then I saw them.
Okay.
I went over and talked to them.
And then you walked right, you go right over there and you talk to him.
Right.
And so did it feel weird? Did it feel awkward, or did it feel completely natural?
No, it felt just right.
Oh, come on, man. That's a great description. That's good. So you start talking, and then y'all had a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a conversation with both of them. Mm-hmm. Do you remember? And you don't have to tell your conversation if that's private.
No.
But do you remember the conversation?
I remember.
Oh, that's outstanding. That is outstanding, man. Okay, so then after you spend some time with your two grandmas, your grandma and your great-grandmother, mm-hmm. which is so cool. By the way, did you know them before they died?
Yes.
You did. How long had it been since you'd seen them?
My great-grandmother passed away when I was young, like as a little boy, And then my recent grandmother passed away when I was 13.
Mm.
So
that's pretty recent. Yes. Wow, 'cause you're just 18 now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, little brother. So I know that when I had my encounter with Jesus, the Lord specifically, it's a long story. I'm not going to go into it. This is your show, so today. But I know that since then, I was very aware that there were people who were rooting for me, watching me, that were a part of my spiritual legacy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean by that? My spiritual heritage. And I was very aware of that in my encounter with Jesus. And some people I didn't even know, man. Some people were generations before me that had prayed and had believed God. And then it was passed down to the next, and then it landed on me, just like all this has landed on you now, right? And they're like, go Austin. You know, the Bible says we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, right?
Right.
So after you meet your grandparents, man, what happened after that?
I saw like some pretty colors, very vibrant. They just don't exist here on earth.
Come on. So there's actually things that you can see and hear in heaven that we do not have the capacity to see in here on earth. We do not have the capacity. We don't have the eye spectrum. We don't have the color spectrum. We just don't even have the ability to be able to see those colors.
Right.
And you see them in heaven. Did everything make you feel good? Did everything make you feel life? Did it feel like just everything was giving you life there?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome, man. So now you're seeing all these crazy cool colors. Did it feel like you were moving as this was happening? Were you going from one place to another, or
I was just walking, doing my thing, just walking, and then I get to see Jesus wearing a long white robe. I shook his hand.
Wait, okay. So you're walking, and then you come into the presence of Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Did you see him a long ways off, or did you see
him? No, it was just like a click.
Okay, just like a click, he was there.
Yes, sir.
And were you scared when you were in the presence of Jesus?
No, never.
Never, you say?
Never.
I love that. Right on. So you felt totally secure, totally safe.
Felt like I was at peace.
No threat whatsoever.
No threat, no harm. Right.
There you go. Awesome. Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Podcast listener. Hey, man, I'm sitting in the studio here, and Mason and I are talking. We're like, hey, we need to do just a brief, tiny 1 minute interruption and remind people that if they need prayer, that they can call us. And you can. If you need prayer, if you need resources, if you need information about the New Beginnings Prophetic Conference for the 2020 year to come, or if you need information about the Arise Zion Israel Tour from March 23rd, I think it is, to the 31st, if you need information about Open Door Church, or how we're saving girls out of sexual trafficking, or how you can partner with us, all of that is found at troybrewer.com, or you can call 877-413-0888. Please be sure and let people know about this podcast and the amazing ministry that all of us as partners are doing together. All right, let's go back to the podcast. Here we go. So you're there, and he's wearing, just tell me all about the appearance of Jesus. What did he look like to you?
He was wearing a long white robe. He had crystal blue eyes. These are the type of eyes that are unforgettable, breathtaking, just so gorgeous. His soft, gentle hands were just amazing. The vision of just looking at him is a face that you don't want to forget.
Come on. So you're there in the presence of Jesus, and does he actually speak to you? Is there interaction going on between you and him?
Yes. He gave me the ability to see myself on life support. Also, along a side, got to see my mom pleading with him and crying to save my life. Many people around the world praying for me as well. I had the medical team working on me. I saw that.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So you're there, and you're having a conversation with the Lord, and the Lord is actually showing you things.
Right.
And he's relating to you in a way that is really hard for you to describe because it's so personal between you and he, right?
Right.
Yeah, I get it. I promise you I do. I'm just referring back to my encounter with Jesus and the same thing. There's a lot of things I can articulate, But there are other things I don't really have language for because it was just something that happened between the two of us, and I don't really know how to explain it. You know, I don't really – I'm just like, well, you know, it just happened. And it didn't seem weird or awkward. There's nothing in the presence of Jesus that seems weird or awkward right. or scary. Right. You know that Jesus is the most powerful person in the universe, right. and you also know he's the most non-threatening person in the universe
right on.
At the same time.
Yes, sir.
And for me, I just, oh, Jesus, I just love you so much. I just loved you. How can you not just love him? You know, he's one altogether beautiful. And, dude, he came to you.
Right.
He came to you. I mean, Austin, he loves you that much. You know, he came to you. It's like, no, this is very important to me. And there's 7 billion people on the planet right now. Mm-hmm. And he still stopped everything he did and came to you personally, just the two of you.
Right.
What does that tell you about him?
Just that he's amazing, shows that he can do things that other people can't
Come
do.
Come on, bro.
Things that people won't do and can't do.
Come on. That's good. So you have a unique perspective of time now.
Right.
Because of this. And one of the things that you were telling me that you knew, and I mean, and you say it with such confidence when you say it,
mm-hmm.
is this. Well, you tell me, how does time work in heaven?
In time?
In heaven.
In heaven, there is no time, but on earth, time is running out for us. Mm. When you get to heaven, there's eternal time, eternal life.
Mm-hmm. That's good. So you were very aware that there's no such thing as time in
there's
heaven.
There's no such thing as time in heaven.
It does not exist.
Right.
And you were also aware that time does exist for us, but that it has
it's
a beginning, it has an end,
quick.
And it's we're right at the end of it.
Right. I'm just like right there from it.
What a strange thing for God to speak to an 18-year-old boy. And I don't mean anything demeaning by that, but I mean, he didn't speak that to a physicist. He didn't speak that to a nuclear scientist. He spoke that to you, Austin.
Mm-hmm.
And he showed that to you in a way that is so real. And you actually carried that back with you. And we'll talk about how you came back and what happened when she did come back. And
okay.
But there's you actually carry a word now about time.
Right.
And the word that you have is in heaven there is no time, and the time we have here now is quickly running out.
Right.
What do you think that that means when the Lord shows you that time is running out? What's fixing to happen here on earth? What does it mean for time to run out?
It means he's coming quick.
He is coming quick. Did you have any sense in heaven that everybody in heaven knew that Jesus was coming back soon? Did you have any sense mm-hmm. like that? Yep. Wow. Wow, dude. So, Mom, while this is going on with him, you're praying, you're crying out, you're mm-hmm. freaking out, you're being a mom.
Mm-hmm.
This is your boy. And all you did was have his wisdom teeth pulled.
Right.
And now it's turning out to be something that's fatal and it's altering mm-hmm. your life forever. And you're just crying out to God. What, you know, only you can know what that's like to be in that.
Right.
Only a mama can know what it's like to be in that situation where, mm-hmm. you know, where you have your child and he has his whole life in front of him. And then all of a sudden that is threatened.
Mm-hmm.
So you go out there and you cry out to God. And so what's going on between you and God outside the parking lot or wherever it is that you're at? What's going on?
I'm just begging and please, please don't take him from me. And not just for me. He's got 2 brothers and a sister. And I just couldn't even imagine, you know, we left the house with Austin and the thought of returning home without Austin. I was just completely torn. I was just begging and pleading the best way I knew how. And that's a feeling I will never, ever forget.
So when did you first know that God had answered your prayer and that he wasn't going to die? How long of a period of time was it for you where you were not sure he was going to live?
2 days later.
Wow.
2 days later when he woke up on life support, that's when he was trying to communicate with me. So I gave him my cell phone and he typed in God.
He typed the word God. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing he typed in.
Just God.
Was just the word God. Mm-hmm. And so he's completely ventilated. Mm-hmm. And you know, and he can't talk. Mm-hmm. And number one, he's woke up, and that's a miracle,
right?
And you're like, oh my gosh! Mm-hmm. So you can tell he wants to talk,
right? And so he's crying. He's crying. Wow. Yes.
And like he's got to tell me something. Mm-hmm. And so you don't know what he's going to tell you,
right?
Did you think he was going to say God? He wants to talk to you about God.
Mm-mm.
Really?
Not at all.
Wow.
And then a few minutes later, I gave him the cell phone again, and he put in heaven.
Okay. And he put in heaven.
Just heaven. Just very brief heaven.
Heaven.
And then the nurses came in. There were some, maybe like 20 minutes that passed. And then sentences started coming in. And he said he saw his grandmother and my grandmother, gosh, which is his great-grandmother.
What's going through your mind? Are you just standing there with your hand over your mouth, or what the heck? I mean, what are you doing?
I thought he was hallucinating, to be honest with you,
okay.
Or maybe he had a dream. But it wasn't until the life support was actually removed when he could finally talk, and he's like, Mom, you don't understand. And he couldn't wait to talk to me when the life support was removed. He's like, I've been in heaven. And again, I was like, okay, he's hallucinating. Until he could explain things that, you know, like he saw me. He saw the surgeons working on him, the medical team working on him. But him seeing me is the biggest thing, because I was outside the hospital. How can somebody that is fighting for their life with a fatal infection on life support could actually visually see me praying and pleading with God to save his life?
When you saw her, did you see her from up above or side to side?
I was looking down.
You were looking down at her. Wow. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay, so did Jesus tell you, hey, you're going to go back, or did you just go back, or what happened?
He was telling me that you need to go back. Everybody's praying for you, and then he just pushed me back.
So what did that? How did he push you back? How did that work?
It was like a strong, forceful wind.
It was like a wind.
It was quick.
Oh, it was it? It was fast.
It was a quick.
So you, when you went back, were you aware immediately you were back in your body, or?
Yes, I had already knew, because I had woke up. I'm looking around. I see my mom. I see everybody in front of my bed.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So then you type in God.
Type in God, type in heaven, type in Jesus.
And then they unplug you where you can actually talk.
Of course, my throat.
Sure, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, which,
and
my
you
God.
Know, after he did come back, I want to say, and I really truly believe he was completely healed, which is unexplainable.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Come on.
He left the hospital later that week. Mom, let's go get a steak. Let's go get a hamburger.
I was already hungry.
I mean, he was completely healed.
That's remarkable. Mm-hmm. That's truly remarkable. So you wake up, you've had this, you tell everybody, and now that you've had this incredible encounter with the Lord, you feel compelled, you want to tell people that, hey, you've been to the place where there is no time.
Right.
And now you're back in a place where there is time.
Mm-hmm.
And there is not much time left. So, Austin, what should people do since there is not much time left?
Since there is not that much time left, I encourage everybody to get to know the Lord, so when we exit this earth, you can have eternal time and life in heaven with the Lord.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Ginger, you as a mom, you know, you've seen this. You've seen God change your walk. What's your big takeaway from all this? And what do you think about your sons? Because you play a huge part in this as well. Mm-hmm. You know, you play a huge part in this. And you know, you didn't ask for any of this, you know, and here you are. But nonetheless, you've decided to steward this. You decided to do this. You're moving forward with this. What's your big takeaway? And what would you say? What do you say to the skeptics that are out there? What do you say to people who are like, I don't really know if that happened or not? What do you have to say about that?
So before this happened, I mean, I've always believed that there was a heaven and Jesus. But other than that, I can't really tell you anything further than that, like what's in the Bible. Like I said, I've always believed, but that's pretty much it. And now what's happened with my son, I have a different look and outlook on this whole whole thing with Jesus. He's really trying to reach many people. And if Austin's story has reached anybody, it's reached me as his mother.
Awesome.
For sure. I mean, Jesus is real. I mean,
come on.
He saw me pleading with God while he was on life support. He's real.
He is real.
And maybe.
And he loves you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he really does love you, Ginger. And he's, I mean, he considered you. I mean, in the midst of all of the stuff he has to do in the universe, he mm-hmm. stopped what he's doing and he considered your mom, Austin. He considered mm-hmm. her. He considered you. You guys are so important to him.
Mm-hmm.
It's remarkable. You know, I had a friend of mine 30 years ago that when I first started doing radio, there was a guy who was, he was a big time radio guy, and he was an old man, and he had had a child in his old age. He was actually 52 whenever his child was born, and now his child was like 17 or 18, and this guy was like, you know, in his 70s now, right? Mm-hmm. To make a real long story short, his son died in a motorcycle accident, and it devastated him. And he was this old man, even though I was in my young 20s, I just idolized this old man. I loved him so much, and he was so devastated. And his wife had already died, and I went to his house, and he wouldn't answer the door. And he was such a happy guy, and he was done. So about 3 months goes by, and one day I was at the radio station, and he came in, and he's just like, "Troy, how are you?" I'm like, "Dude, what are you doing? Where have you been? My gosh, what's up with you?" And he said, I told him, I said, "Dude, I didn't think you were going to survive this." And he said, "Well, I wouldn't have, but God did something amazing for me." I'm like, "What?" He had a vision of his son.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a vision of the Lord. And the Lord said, "I'm going to show you something," and showed him his son. And his son spoke to him in this vision and said, "Dad, Jesus showed me you praying for me mm-hmm. when I was on life support. And Jesus told me, I'm going to send you back." And I told the Lord, "My dad has always raised me to choose you above all things. My dad will be okay."
Mm-hmm.
And he said, and Jesus argued with me and said, "Your dad will not be okay." And he said, "No, he will, man. My dad's an awesome man of God." He said, "He's not going to be okay." And he said, "I'm going to let you tell him." And he had a vision of his son where his dad said, "Daddy, I want you to know it was the Lord saw you and he considered you in this thing. And I'm fine and I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll see you whenever you get here." And it was over. And that brother got up, sold everything he had. And he told me, he gave me a big hug. And I said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to Mexico. I'm going to spend the rest of my life walking through the Mexican mountains, just leading people to Jesus." Mm-hmm. And we never saw him again after
Amazing.
That. So, Amen. So the Lord saw your mom and considered her. And I mean, that's how much influence, you know, that you guys have with God, the creator of the universe. He chooses to give you influence over him.
All right.
Well, Austin, Ginger, I'm so glad that you guys have joined me today. Mm-hmm. What a great privilege to have you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, thank you. Man, I'm glad to have you. Dude, and I'm so glad you're still alive, by the way.
It's glad to be alive.
Yeah, man. You know what? Texas is a lot better place with you in it, man. You're wearing a shirt straight out of heaven. Looks like the Straight Out of Compton shirt. It says Straight Out of Heaven, and it's so cool. Well, friends, you have been listening to the amazing testimony of Austin Cole, 18-year-old, and his mama, Ginger Wayne. And the two of them together are here to testify the reality of Jesus and how much he loves us. This amazing story is a true story, and it's something that just happened just a couple of months ago. And if you'd like more information about Brother Austin, all you got to do, he says, is look him up on Facebook. Brother Austin Cole in Big Time Dallas, Texas. You know, just go there and do a search. You'll find him there. And in the meantime, Ginger, I want to tell you, man, thank you so much for joining me. And thank you for your testimony. And I bless you in Jesus' name. Austin, I'm your friend and I'm your brother. And I love you and I'm proud of you, man.
Sir.
Yeah, I bless you, brother. All right, my friends, that's all the time that I have for today. Guys, remember, time is running out. Run hard after Jesus. Bye-bye, everybody.